Turn with me in the Holy Scriptures tonight to the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to John. We'll read together the first 30 verses. My text tonight is verse 11. The Word of God at John 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." There ends our reading of the Word of God tonight. May the Lord bless our reading of the Holy Scriptures. I call your attention to the 11th verse. Jesus' word, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." One of the most important questions with regard to the death of Jesus Christ is the question, for whom did Jesus die? There are two and only two answers to that question. The first answer is that Jesus died in order to save all men. Jesus died in order to save every human being, every man, every woman, every young person, every child who ever has been born or will be born. At the very least, Jesus died to make salvation possible for every human being. The biblical, the reformed answer to that question is that Jesus died in order to save the elect. He did not die to save all men, but he died in order to save some men only. His people, those who had been given to him by his Father in eternity. This is Jesus' teaching in our text for tonight. In the text, Jesus himself answers the question, for whom did you die? And the answer to that question, in Jesus' own words, is, I have died. I have laid down my life only for my sheep. At the same time, this is the comforting word of the gospel for us tonight who are the sheep of Jesus. I have died for you. I have stood in your place bearing what you deserve on your behalf, as your substitute, I have laid down my life. In the passage, Jesus uses two very closely related figures. Two figures that are related to sheep herding, a very common occupation in Jesus' day. First, Jesus describes himself as the door of the sheep, the door or gate into the sheepfold. And secondly, he describes himself as the good shepherd of the sheep. Jesus is the door of the sheep, the door through which the sheep must go in order to find safety inside the protection of the sheepfold. From two points of view, Christ is the door of the sheep. First, Christ is the door of the shepherds, so that only those who come in Jesus' name, having been sent by Jesus himself, are to be accounted true shepherds of his sheep. This is Jesus' teaching in the opening verses of the chapter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And secondly, Christ is the door of the sheep because it is through Him, through faith in Him, that a man enters into the sheepfold. That's Jesus' teaching in verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. But besides being the door into the sheepfold, Jesus is also the good shepherd of the sheep. That is His teaching in the words of our text for tonight. I am the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. The good shepherd. The good shepherd of God's sheep. I call your attention to the text tonight under this theme, the good shepherd's death for his sheep. The good shepherd's death for his sheep. Notice three things with me tonight. First of all, the good shepherd's giving of his life. Secondly, that he gives his life for the sheep. And finally, the benefit of the giving of his life. The good shepherd's death for his sheep, the good shepherd's giving of his life, that he gives his life for the sheep, and the benefit of the giving of his life. Jesus is the good shepherd. I, he says, I am the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd because of his own personal goodness, first of all. He has declared this about himself in the passage. He has declared about himself that he is the one and only, the great good shepherd of the sheep. He is the one to whom the porter openeth. His voice is the voice that the sheep hear. He is the one, the only one in the final analysis, whom the sheep follow. By me, he says, in verse 9, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He says about himself, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, in a very special, in an entirely unique sense of the word. Jesus knows the Father, and the Father knows Jesus. In verse 30, the last verse that we read together tonight, he says, I and my Father are one. Essentially one. For this reason, Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the Son of God. His goodness is this, that He is Himself, very God. And that belongs to the significance of what He says. When He says, I am the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd, He says. That's what God declared about Himself to Moses, you will recall, in the wilderness, when he appeared to him in Exodus chapter 3. I am, he said to Moses, I am that I am. I am, Jesus says here. By saying that, he identifies himself with the great I am, who is God himself. For this reason then, first of all, Jesus is the Good Shepherd. But Jesus is the Good Shepherd not only because of his inherent goodness. Jesus is the Good Shepherd also because of his goodness to us. His goodness to his sheep. That gets the emphasis in the text. Because of his goodness to us. Because of all the good that he does for us. Because that good is the greatest good, the highest good, saving good, eternal good. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. As the Good Shepherd, Jesus distinguishes himself in his relationship to the sheep. He distinguishes himself, first of all, from the thieves and the robbers. They are the enemies of the sheep. They do not have the good of the sheep in view as Jesus does. They have their own good in view at the expense of the sheep. They come in order to steal, in order to kill, in order to destroy. Verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. As the Good Shepherd, Jesus also distinguishes himself from all the false and the faithless shepherds. They are the hirelings to whom Jesus refers in the passage. Verses 12 and 13. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. The hirelings to whom Jesus refers here are the leaders of the Jews, the scribes and Pharisees, and the high priests of Jesus' day. They were supposed to be shepherds to God's sheep. They were supposed to care for God's sheep as under-shepherds of the great Good Shepherd. But like the thieves and the robbers, they held their office not for the good of the sheep, but for their own good, their own carnal advancement at the expense of the sheep. They were not good shepherds, but evil shepherds, faithless shepherds. In contrast to them, Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Jesus is the Good Shepherd because he carries out faithfully the work of a shepherd. The duty of the shepherd was both to provide for and to protect the sheep. Jesus does that. Jesus does both of those things. He does them both by the giving of His life. His giving of His life is both His provision for the sheep and His protection of the sheep from their dread enemies. It is therefore in the giving of His life that Jesus proves Himself to be the Good Shepherd. That's the idea of the text. You may read the text that way. I am the Good Shepherd, and I am the Good Shepherd because I give my life for the sheep. Jesus gave His life on the cross. Jesus is speaking in the text prophetically. He's speaking about His suffering and His death on the cross that would take place shortly. And there on the cross, Jesus would function as the great Good Shepherd of His sheep. Because He is the Good Shepherd, He goes the way to the cross. Because He is the Good Shepherd, He dies the death of the cross. And by His death on the cross, He shows Himself to be the Good Shepherd of God's sheep. On that cross, He both provided for and protected the sheep. That's what the cross was. Look at the cross that way. On the cross, Jesus provided for the great need of the sheep. And that great need of the sheep was righteousness before God, the removal of the guilt of their sins, lest they be consumed by the wrath of God. And at the same time, that is how Jesus protected His dear sheep, protected them from the consuming wrath of God, from the grave, from death, from hell, from the judgment of God that they deserve because of their sins. He protected them by standing in their place, dying in their stead. I am the Good Shepherd. In connection with His giving of His life, we should notice a couple of things. First of all, His giving of His life brings out His love, His great love for us, His sheep. That's emphasized in the text. That's emphasized when Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. He gives His life freely, willingly, voluntarily. He lays down His life for the sheep. As He says in verse 18, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. That He does. That He freely and willingly lays His life down underscores His love, His great love for His sheep. That is the only possible explanation. Jesus' love for His sheep is also emphasized by the fact that He gave His life for the sheep. Not silver or gold. Not a great ransom of money or earthly possessions. He did not give something for the sheep. He gave Himself for the sheep. He made the ultimate sacrifice, the sacrifice of His own life. And He gave up His life to the worst possible death. The death of the cross. Death under the wrath and judgment of God. What love. What incomprehensible love on the part of the Good Shepherd. This is what distinguishes Him from all the others, from all the hirelings. He loved His sheep. He places His own life on the line for them. He is willing to die in their place. All this is the great struggle in the life of the child of God. This is the thing, says Calvin, that we must not miss in John 10, verse 11. To be sure, the text answers the question, for whom did Christ die? To be sure, the text underscores the great truth of limited atonement, Christ's death only for the elect. True enough, says Calvin, but don't miss. In John 10, verse 11, the proclamation of the love of Jesus Christ for His sheep. That stands out in the text. That's the great question we struggle with all our life long. That's the great struggle at the end of life. To know, to have the assurance of the love of Jesus Christ for us, even for me. Then we must look at the cross, not at ourselves, not at our sinfulness. We must look away from ourselves. We must fix our eye, the eye of faith, on the cross of Calvary. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. In the second place that Jesus gives His life for the sheep also underscores the truth of substitutionary or vicarious atonement. The substitutionary or vicarious nature of the death of Jesus Christ. That's just this, that Christ died as the substitute for others. He did not deserve Himself to die. They deserved to die. And they surely would die if He had not laid down His life on their behalf. That's the figure in the text. The figure in the text is of the shepherd who gives Himself in the place of the sheep. The enemy has his eye on the sheep, the destruction of the sheep, and the shepherd intervenes, and the shepherd stands in the place of the sheep. That's why the Church of Jesus Christ in every age of history, glories in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's why the believer will know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, because of the great goodness of the Shepherd in standing in our place on our behalf as our substitute. But for whom did the Good Shepherd die as substitute? For whom did He give His life? Jesus teaches who they are for whom He died in this text. He does that when He says that the Good Shepherd gives His life for the sheep. Jesus died for certain definite individuals, particular persons. The atonement of the cross of Jesus Christ was a limited atonement. He did not die for an indefinite group of people, for sinners generally, but for no sinner particularly. No, He died for the sheep. That's definite. That's particular. Jesus gave His life for every human being who belongs to the category of sheep. And only for the sheep did Jesus lay down His life. He did not die for all men. Sheep in the text does not include all men. And this is Jesus' own teaching in the passage. He distinguishes the sheep for whom He died from the thieves and from the robbers of verse 8. The thieves and the robbers are not the sheep of Jesus. And He distinguishes His sheep from the hirelings and from the wolves in verse 12. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. Jesus did not die for wolves, for thieves, for hirelings. He died only for the sheep. That's why Jesus says in verse 26 to some in His audience, "Ye are not of My sheep." To be one of Jesus' sheep is to be included in the number of the elect. The elect, they are the sheep of John 10, verse 11. They are those whom God chose in eternity. They are those whom God gave in eternity to Jesus Christ. They are the ones who, belonging to Jesus Christ, are those for whom He laid down His life. And that's consistent with the figure in the text, the figure of sheep and a shepherd. What explains it that sheep belong to a certain shepherd? Is that due to the will, to the decision, to the activity of the sheep? Do the sheep choose their own shepherd? Even the children in the congregation tonight know that that's absurd. That doesn't happen. Sheep don't choose their shepherd. The shepherd chooses his sheep. Every one of them, that they are his sheep, is due to his will and to his activity. He has decided that this one will be his sheep. He has purchased that sheep. He has made that sheep his own property. As it is naturally, so is it also spiritually. God has chosen his sheep. The sheep are Jesus' sheep because God has given them to Jesus in eternity. For those elect sheep of God, Jesus lays down his life. Not only does Jesus limit his death when he says that he lays down his life for the sheep, but he also limits his death, those for whom he dies, by his teaching here of the saving benefit that comes to all those for whom he dies. Jesus' death actually availed to save everybody for whom he died. His death was not only a limited atonement, but it was a limited atonement, a real atonement for the sins of everybody for whom he died. By his death, he did redeem them from hell and from the grave. By his death, he did pay in full the debt that they owed. His death fully satisfied God's righteousness over the guilt of all their sins. For he gave his life for the sheep, Jesus says. For the sheep. For their benefit is the idea. For their good, so that they might profit from his death. Jesus does not only teach limited atonement in the text, but he teaches efficacious atonement. That is, that his death was a real atonement, a real satisfaction for all for whom he died. He laid down his life for the sheep. They are saved from death and hell because he laid down his life. That's Jesus' teaching clearly in the text. And that's the context as well. In verse 10, Jesus says that the sheep have life through him and that they have it more abundantly. And in verse 28, Jesus teaches that all for whom he dies, without exception, they all have eternal life. It ought to be plain then that he did not die for every human being. That's the teaching of many, even in Reformed and Presbyterian churches today. Jesus died for everybody in order to save all men. But there is a hell, and there are those who go to hell and spend an eternity in hell, although they are becoming so bold that they deny even hell. Consistency would demand that. But there is a hell. The Bible teaches that as clearly as possible. And there are people who end up in hell. That means, therefore, that although Jesus died for them, gave His life, that did not avail to save them. Even though He died for them, they must die under the wrath of God eternally in hell. What a blasphemy. What a blasphemous teaching that is. That stands in flat contradiction to Jesus' teaching in the text. That's a denial of the goodness of the great Good Shepherd. No. No. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. Everyone for whom He lays down His life is saved by Him. Everyone for whom He dies as the Good Shepherd has life and life more abundant. And upon that stands the assurance of the believer. That other teaching robs God's people of their assurance. That teaching that says that Jesus died for everybody, but in spite of that death of Jesus Christ for everybody, some spend an eternity in hell. What about me? What about me? I know myself. I know my sins. How terrible those sins are. How can I ever face death? If it is true that although Jesus died for everybody, in spite of that death, some men end up in hell. That might be me. Surely, that is me. No. 1,000 times, no. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. That's the benefit, the great saving benefit of the giving of His life. Jesus' word in the text is striking. It's striking because it points to the ongoing benefit of Jesus' death for His sheep. Significantly, Jesus does not say in the text, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd will give His life, or is going to give His life. No. He says, giveth. The Good Shepherd giveth His life. That's ongoing. That's continual. Now certainly, from our perspective, there was a moment in time in which Jesus gave His life. in the past when He died that awful death on Calvary's cross. The cross is a once for all historical event. There's no repetition of the death of Jesus on the cross, Rome notwithstanding. Nevertheless, the benefit, the saving benefit of Jesus' death is ongoing. It continues into the future for all for whom He died. From that point of view, the Good Shepherd giveth His life. What is that benefit? That saving benefit of the Good Shepherd's giving of His life? That benefit is first of all deliverance from death. That's what we deserve. That surely is what will happen to us apart from Jesus' death for us. But because He died for the sheep, we are delivered from death. Delivered from death. As the wrath of God. Now death is our servant to bring us into life everlasting. That, secondly, delivering us from death, the benefit of the death of the Good Shepherd is life, abundant life. That's life with God. That's everlasting life. That's the life of heaven. That's the life in which every tear will be wiped away. Every sorrow will be forgotten. And we will enjoy only bliss and only glory in the fellowship and friendship of God in Jesus Christ. That's the benefit. That life, that everlasting life that now we enjoy in principle and will finally enjoy in glory hereafter, is nourished and preserved by the preaching of the gospel. That's the voice of the Good Shepherd that the sheep hear still today. Under that preaching of the gospel, the Good Shepherd feeds His sheep. Under that preaching of the gospel, He nourishes them up to life everlasting. Under that preaching of the gospel, He enriches that life for which He laid down His own life. By that preaching of the gospel, He assures the sheep of His love for them, the same love that moved Him to lay down His life. And by that preaching of the gospel, the sheep respond and follow after the Good Shepherd wherever He leads. They obey His word. They keep His commandments. No one else will they follow. No other voice will they obey. Only His voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd, and only His voice, because He laid down His life for the sheep. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, bless thy word, the preaching of thy word tonight. Give us the assurance of our life in Jesus Christ on account of the laying down of his life. Give us the assurance of his love for us, his abiding love for us. And give us the hope of life more abundantly. For Jesus' sake, amen.